Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Good to have each one of you here today. I'm going to throw a little funny thing in on today's airplane flying. When we were flying the 421, it's a nice big seven-place airplane, pressurized. And we was just out flying, flying around the area, just learning how everything worked. And at that time, I had no experience in a 421, so I was wanting to get kind of checked out. We was out flying around, and of course, little John, he was about this tall, and he was with us. And of course, there wasn't nobody in the airplane except me and Dave and little John. We flew down to Palestine, and all over the south of Dallas. We just flew everywhere. We were flying around 10,000 feet, you know, just having lots of fun flying this airplane. And I didn't realize that this airplane had a little problem with the altitude hold. Now, we didn't know this, but all of a sudden we're flying along there, and of course I always have my hands lightly on the controls. We're flying along there, and all of a sudden the altitude hold had what we call a hiccup. And when it had this hiccup, the airplane's flying just as smooth. We're doing about 200 miles an hour. We're flying along there, but then all of a sudden the airplane went. Of course, I just kind of grabbed it, you know, right quick and brought it back down level, kicked off the autopilot, and then reestablished it. And Dave's over there saying, "Pastor, have you got it? Have you got it?" I said, "Yeah, Dave, no problem. No problem. I have it in hand. I have it in control." Little John walks up there. Of course, he was, you know, he was standing right between me and Dave, holding on to some rail deals up there. He had no idea. I told him, if you stand up there, you got to hold on to these because we never know what might happen. And, of course, when the airplane done this, I went back down. Little John, as soon as Dave settled down, little John says, "Papa T, do that again. That was fun." I said, "Here's going to be your stunt pilot, Dave. It won't be you." So when we landed out there, when we were going to California that time, when we landed out here west, we come in and the runway, the wind was blowing so hard, 45 knots. 45, that's nearly 50 miles an hour crosswind. But we had to land because we didn't have no place else to go. So anyway, I'm bringing it in, and the controller told me, he said, "As soon as you get that big beast on the ground, you call me. I want to know you made it all right." I said, "We're okay." So, but he said, "Call me. You hear me?" I said, "Okay, I'll call you when I get on the ground." So as we're approaching, we approach a big tumbleweed. It must have been that big around out there in Arizona. That thing, you know, Dave said, "What is that, Pastor?" I said, "It looks like a tumbleweed." He looked up there and he said, "My lands, that thing is rolling like a jet behind it." I said, "Yeah, there's a 45 knot tailwind on that thing blowing it right across the runway." He said, "Wow." So anyway, we landed, I put it on the ground. Thank goodness I had a lot of experience flying crosswind flying. And if you're not experienced, you don't want to be out there. You don't want to get experience. So anyway, when we landed, Ty Davenport, he was with us. He needed to get out and go to the bathroom. I mean, he didn't even know the wind was blowing. I mean, the people in the airplane, they can't tell that, see, from where you're at. You remember, when you're flying in an airliner, when you come in for a landing down here at DFW, you don't know if there's a 30-knot crosswind or a 5-knot, if there's no wind. We just know the wind is not blowing inside the airplane. And so that's all we know. So, but anyway, whenever Ty got out of the airplane, he said, as soon as we opened the door, he said, "I've got to go to the bathroom." So he started down the door. I told him, I said, "Hold on to the edge of the wing." He said, "What do you mean?" He stepped out of the airplane. He said, "My gosh, I can see what you mean." He said, "How in the world did you get this thing on the ground?" I said, "Experience." And that's like Dave said, you know, if you're going to go flying, make sure you go with somebody that's experienced. Make sure you go with somebody that knows who he is. And that's why whenever you're flying or when you're going somewhere, to tell you how this works in the spirit world, the scriptures are very clear about what we need to do as far as sin is concerned. We need to repent of sin. Then we need to pray the prayer of faith for people. I went over to a friend of mine come by one day, and he said, I need you to go over to Denton with me and pray for a friend of mine. I said, what's wrong with you? He said, well, I really don't know. He's just been comatose now for about 3 weeks. I said, having to feed him intravenously. I said, do you know the guy very well? And he said, yeah, I know him pretty well. I said, is he married? And he said, yes. I said, is he a good married man? Does he run around on his wife, or do you know him? He said, well, I know he has run around on his wife a few times. In fact, he said, just before they put him in the hospital here, I noticed that he was having problems, and there was a woman that was staying at his place once in a while. I said, well, that's why he's down sick. I said, you know, he's got this problem, and any time you see a man that runs around on his wife, if he's not sick now, he will be. Amen. Because the scripture clearly says, and think about this, every act of sexual immorality will be judged. Amen. Now, how many of them does that cover?
All.
So if you're out there messing around on your spouse, you can be assured you're going to be judged. And so that's the way it is. So anyway, whenever he told me all these things, I said, well, I said, so he's knocked out, huh? And he said, yeah, he's comatose. I said, well, there's one thing the Lord says do, and he says remit sin. Yes. So when he says remit sin, if the guy is out, he can't remit his sin. He can't even confess his sin, can he?
No.
So I said, that means you and me are going to have to take care of it. So I said, what we'll do, I said, there's a scripture that says, whosoever sins I forgive, they are forgiven.
John 20:23.
Oh, Miss Jackie knows where that's at. John 20:23. Some people say, I don't believe that. But, well, let's just, while we're here, let's just turn over to John 20:23. And let's look at that for a second and see if that's what that says. In other words, learn to put the Word of God to the test. I mean, if it says something, it ought to work, right?
Yes.
So anyway, when you turn to John 20:23, what does John 20:23 say?
Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained.
Amen.
So does that cover it?
Yes.
So we remit the guy's sin. I said, after we remit the sin, I said, then the scripture says, lay hands on the sick, and they will recover.
Yeah.
In other words, if the scripture says, in other words, I've said that many times, it can't be true. You know, anything Mark 16:18 can't be true. It's just too simple. But let's see what Mark 16:18 says. In fact, let's read verse 17 and 18. Mark 16:17-18. Well, Cheryl will read that for me and see what that says.
And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Okay. When I look at that, it doesn't say it'll work for everybody, does it? Who does it say it'll work for?
Those who believe.
Oh, who?
Those who believe.
So now we know what's wrong with the church, right? We don't believe. In other words, the average member in the church I was raised up in did not believe these promises. I can assure you for sure. So that's why he said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Are you a believing believer?
Yes.
Okay, if I'm a believing believer, then I ought to be able to cast out this spirit, and I ought to be able to lay hands on this person, and they ought to be able to get well, right?
Yes.
So anyway, we talked about it a little while, and he said, well, we're on the way to the hospital, and we're driving his truck. We get over to the hospital. We walk in, go up to the room, walk in the room, and there he lay, still comatose. I go up, and I take my Bible, I open it to these places, I lay the Bible down here and I read those scriptures. Right here it says, John 20:23, whosoever sins I forgive, they're forgiven. So I put my hands on him and said, you are forgiven in the name of Jesus. Yeah. I mean, is that what it says?
Yes.
So then I said, now, Satan, you have no legal right to this boy. I've remitted his sin, so I command you to come out of him, go to the abyss, and never come back to him again in Jesus' name. Amen. I said, now, Lord, I'm laying both hands on this boy, and he's healed in Jesus' name. He's done. I said, okay, let's go to the house. He said, is that all you're going to do? I said, that's all. We did everything the Scripture said to do. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, it's really, really too simple, right? But you got to believe. And so anyway, we go back home, and he said, what should I do? I said, well, you need to, I said, go back up there tomorrow. I believe that he'll be conscious. I said, you need to go up there and tell him. He needs, when he's able to listen. I said, today he wasn't here, and at least he might not have been, but I said, tomorrow when he wakes up and he can hear, go up there and tell him he needs to stop messing around on his wife. I said, because if he don't stop messing around on his wife, there'll be a bigger judgment. And the judgment will come, and the Lord will judge you. He will take care of that, and it could cost you your life. I said, you're going to have to believe what God says. So anyway, he said, do you mean that's all you do? You just go up there and remit their sins and kick out that spirit and lay hands on them, say you're healed. And Jesus, now I said, is that what the Word of God says? And he said, well, that's what it said. I said, well, don't you believe it? He said, well, I didn't know it was that simple. That's what's wrong with all of us, right?
Yeah.
In other words, if we call and ask the church to pray, we have to remit sins and believe. Now then, today, right now, in other words, this guy, when he went back up there the next day, he walked in the door of the guy's room, and he looked in, went in about noontime, and he walked in, and he looked, and there that guy was sitting there, and he looked over, and he said, oh, hi. He said, you just woke up? And he said, well, yeah, this morning I woke up, and I was pretty good shape. Said they hadn't fed me in a while, so they get me something to eat, so... So I was just sitting there eating a sandwich. So anyway, he talked to him a little while, and he said he left the hospital and come home, and on the way home, when he got to where his house was, I happened to be right down the road. So he came down there and got me. He said, I never saw anything like this in my life. He said, I went by the house and told my wife, I said, you know, if I ever get sick and I can't hear nothing, go get Thurman and have him pray over me. Now then, how are you going to do these things if you don't know what they say? It's kind of like Dave giving you that example of flying that airplane a while ago. In other words, if you don't know what a pilot looks like and how he's supposed to work, you have no idea. Life can be very short if you don't know how to fly an airplane and you get in some bad weather. Life can be very short. It can be very rough. I'll tell you a little example, and I've told this story. Dave's even told it, because he was there too. We went to Corsicana or somewhere off over East Texas to preach. And so since it was only 45 minutes or so across there in the 421, we just decided instead of staying in a hotel, we'd just fly home every night. We could fly home and back for the fuel, for the price of the room, just on fuel. So anyway, as we're coming back in one night, all of a sudden we come in on the east side of Dallas, and it's a beautiful night, clear, I mean, lights everywhere, just a beautiful. And the controller, he knew what it was out there. He didn't know what it was over at Denton, but he called me and told me, he said, you know, you're cleared to frequency change, and we went through all our airplane stuff. And after we did that, I changed frequency to the airport. And all of a sudden, I started slowing down and letting down the landing lights and so forth. As we flew in there, all of a sudden, we saw big puffs of white clouds coming about. They had, when those lights come on, they said, what's that? I said, well, it looks like fog. I guess we got a fog out there. So Dave looked at the runway and he said, Pastor, Denton, which is only about 6-7 miles due north of where we're going, he said, it's closed. The visibility at Denton is 0-0. That means you can't see nothing. And as we're letting down in this stuff, I said, okay. Dave said, you want me to set you up for, you want me to call a controller and set you up for an approach into Alliance? I said, no. I said, if we had to do that, then in the morning, we'd have to call somebody to come get us. It's already midnight, a little after midnight. I said, then we'd have to have somebody take us back over there in the morning to go get the airplane to bring it back over to Northwest. I said, no. I said, Dave, we're sons. I said, let's just call on the Lord and his promises. He said, what are you talking about? I said, well, he does say in his word that if we're sons, we can ask for anything. If you're sons. Only if you're sons. Everybody don't have this privilege. This is not for the servants. This is for the sons.
Amen.
So I said, you and me are sons.
Yes.
So I said, Father, I'm looking at my GPS screen. I said, in 3 miles, I need to turn left to line up with the runway at Northwest. I said, so you said I could ask for anything, so I'm asking you, when I get to the point to turn left, I'm asking you to clear the runway right to the end of the runway, perfect clarity, where I can see everything all the way in, where I can land on a clear runway in Jesus' name. Now, if I'm able to ask for anything, does that sound like a reasonable ask?
Yeah.
So Dave's sitting over there looking, and I'm flying up there a little ways, and we turn left, and as we turn in left, and all of a sudden as I line up there, right in front of me is just as clear a tunnel right to the end of the runway. I asked the Lord to give me a clear tunnel right to the end of the runway, and I mean it just whoosh, and it cleared up, and we're flying in there, and Dave's sitting there watching this. We go right in. We come right over the end of the runway. We come over the fence. The fence is about this high. We come right over the top of the fence and start to flare out. And, of course, I said, I lead this clear to the end of the runway. So as we went over the end of the runway, instantly we're back in the fog. But I just saw the runway there seconds ago, and I'm on a descent, which should have put me right on the end of it. So I just went ahead and, by faith, let it down. Hit right on the end of the runway. Beautiful. We taxied down, turned around, pulled up there to the hangar, and pulled in the hangar, got out, and Dave says, Pastor, you know a God that I don't know exists. You know, if you're going to go out and play the game, you better know who he is.
Amen.
He is God.
Yes.
And he is an awesome God. And he knows how to do everything. And you'll learn how to do all these things in his word.
Yeah.
You can't learn it nowhere else. Now, sometimes you'll tell people things that you found in the word. And it will be so foreign to them, they can't go there with you.
That's true.
I mean, what you're teaching may be totally legal. It may be totally true. But just like this story I just told you, there's men that were men of God that literally told me when I told them I've done this, they thought I was crazy. No, Pastor, that's not what he means. I said, but I did it. I've been there. I've called on his name. I've seen him do these things.
Amen.
And I said, he has done these things. But until you get to where you can see these things, and know how these things work, these things will not work for you. They just won't work. That's why laying hands on the sick. I think about that lady over here. She had a son. I think he was about 12, 13 years old. And she heard that there were some healing pastors in the area. So she wanted her boy to be prayed over. So she went up to their pastor. What is that noise?
Airplane. It's a pretty low airplane.
I didn't hear what you said.
In the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for... Why, I tell you, it sounds like a big jet or something over at the airport. Must have been over Denton. That was a big one. So anyway, when people see these things, they don't believe them. And this church here will know that I have been places and prayed for people. Cheryl's been with me many a time and seen miracles and healing and people get healed. But the average person, even after we've seen it, they still don't believe it. I mean, it's just amazing that you have to be so careful of what you teach and how you teach it. Because people that don't walk with God every day, that don't stay in His Word, they cannot make these kind of things work for them. You know, I heard a preacher the other day. Everybody knows him. He's a well-known pastor, and he believes in healing. He's on TV. But he made a statement. He said, if you've had somebody to pray for you, said, if we prayed for you, we believe. So if you're not getting healed, he said, you need to look at yourself. You need to be in the Word. I thought, now that man, he's got it. In other words, if me and Cheryl pray for you, if we pray for her daughter, if we pray for her daughter and for her healing, when me and her pray in faith. Amen. And everybody that comes to this church knows Cheryl and I pray in faith. Amen. And that's why we see our prayers answered. But the people we're praying for, a lot of times, they have no faith or very little faith. And so it takes a long time for something to happen. You keep praying, and you keep praying, and you keep praying, and then someday it'll finally happen. Now then, I want to give you an example of what I'm talking about from the Scripture. I want us to turn to Luke 11, and I want Cheryl to read some of Luke. In fact, we're going to read nearly the whole verse of Luke, starting with verse 1. Luke 11, and I want you to see what the Lord told us to do here, because so many times, now this is what I heard when I was growing up. If we did pray for something and we didn't get an answer, which most of the time we did not, everybody says, well, it wasn't God's will. I mean, don't you, all y'all have heard that, right?
Yes.
It's not God's will for us to get the answer to our prayer. I mean, I think just as while we're getting ready to go to Luke 11, I think of the first miracle I ever saw when I was a kid working in the Chevrolet house there as a mechanic. For some strange reason, on my left arm, all kinds of warts came up on my left hand. There was a few on my right hand, most of them on my left and on my elbow. Big old warts. Well, I mean, did I even think about going to God? I mean, I never seen anybody else go to God. So, I mean, why would I go to God? I have no example. So, I'm in there working on a car one day, and I'm loosening a spark plug, and they're tight. And when it come loose, my arm slid down to the manifold there, and it hit that big old wart on my elbow. And when it hit that thing, blood just went to bleeding everywhere, so... Oh, well, I was used to that, you know, no problem. And there's a guy that was there, I was changing the spark plugs in his car. He said, Thurman, boy, you sure got some big old warts on your arm there, don't you? And I said, yes, I do. He said, how would you like to get rid of them? Well, I mean, I'd love to get rid of them. That's why I put the medicine and all that stuff on them, trying to get rid of them. Why? He said, do you know Miss Ott Klein that lives right up the street up here? I said, well, I know the Kleins. Hey, you know, I said, I know them. He said, she takes them things off. I said, Miss Klein takes warts off of your body? He said, yes. So, boy, that afternoon when I got home, I said, Mom, do you know Miss Ott Klein? She said, well, of course, son. She's in my Sunday school class. I said, do you know she takes warts off of people? And she said, I never heard of such a thing. Says she never talked about it in church. So we got in the car and drove over to town. It's only 3 miles over there, so we jumped in the car and drove back over there, and we pulled up in front of her house. When her mom says, Miss Klein says, Thurman said there's a boy who told him today at the Chevrolet house that you can take warts off. She said, well, yeah, kind of. Said, it's not really me, but said, yeah, I can get them off for you. She said, well, how do you do it? She said, well, Artis, I just pray. Doesn't that sound simple? I just pray. And so she said, where are they at, Thurman? And so I pulled my shirt sleeve up, and she looked at them all over my hands. And she said, boy, you got a bunch of them. I think I had about 30 or 40. I had several warts all over me. And so she said, come in here and write your full name down on a piece of paper. So I went in there and wrote Thurman Lee Scrivener. I said, and what are you going to do? She said, I'm going to pray. So I said, do I need to do anything? She said, no, just thank the Lord that they're going to come off. I said, that's all I got to do, just thank him. She said, that's it. I said, I don't have to do nothing. She said, no, nothing. I mean, I was totally dumbfounded. So I looked at these warts all over my arms and hands and everything, and I thought, okay, ain't that something? So all she told me to do is thank you. So the Lord, thank you for taking the warts off my arm in Jesus' name. I didn't know nothing to do. So we go along there for a few days, probably 3 or 4 weeks. And one day we're sitting there at the dinner table having dinner. Mom had fixed some fried chicken or something, and we were sitting there having a piece of that chicken. And I reached down and got me a piece of that chicken, started to put it in my mouth, and I have a look down there, and there ain't a wart on my arm nowhere. Did you know a country bar can get excited about that? I mean, I jumped up there. I'm excited. Mom, look at this. Look at that. I have no warts on my arm. Look, Mom, they're gone. Look. I mean, I'm excited. I mean, I've seen a miracle. So anyway, Mom said, my land, Thurman, jump in the car. Let's go over and get her a bouquet of roses and take them up and give them to her. So we did, man. We went by town. Mom stopped, run in, got her some flowers. And so we got there, and Mom, she said, what are you doing, Artie? She said, well, with these warts, just like you said, they all went away. And we want to give you a bouquet of roses. She said, oh, Artie, you shouldn't have done that. Said, you know, it wasn't me. It was just Jesus. But we said, Jesus. I said, you mean Jesus took these warts off my hand, off my arm? She said, well, of course, Thurman, he answers prayer. I thought, now why? I've been in the Baptist church ever since I'm born, and I ain't never heard nobody talk about seeing miracles in church. Matter of fact, this wasn't in church either. It was at her house. There's something wrong with this picture. If this God that we serve is real and his promises are real, we ought to be able to see some miracles. Don't y'all agree?
Yes.
So anyway, I looked at those and I said, ma'am, how did you do that? Could you tell me? She said, oh, sure, it's not a secret. She said, I just prayed. I said, can you tell me how you prayed? She said, I said, Father, in Jesus' name, let not the warts on the hands and arms of Thurman Lee Scrivener corrupt or corrode him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for taking these warts off of Thurman. Let not the warts on the hands and arms of Thurman Lee Scrivener corrupt or corrode him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, Lord, thank you for taking these warts off of Thurman Lee Scrivener. Now, let not the warts on the hands and arms of Thurman Lee Scrivener corrupt or corrode him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. It's done. Amen. She said, that's what I did. I said, is there any significance to any of these numbers? She said, no, I just felt like that's how many times I ought to pray. 3 times. She said, I've never had one go over 3. She said, usually when I pray, within a few days, they all go away. So she said, I found out it worked for 3, so that's what I do. I pray 3 times and thank the Lord. I mean, if you find something that works, don't break it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? So I said, so that's all you did was pray. That's all I did. I thought, well, that is awesome. I mean, it took the warts off. It took the scars off. It took everything. And then years later, I'm flying DC-8s for Seaboard World Airlines. I don't know, I must have been 30-something years old by that time, 31 or 2 or 3 or whatever. And we're coming across from London to New York City. And I see one of the pilots has a big old wart on the back of his hand. We're flying alone, and I keep looking at that wart. The Lord's working on me. Now, I've seen somebody else do this now, so I'm dangerous. I mean, if you see somebody else do this, you want to do it, right? Yeah. I mean, she said it would work for me. She said, if I'd only believe, it'll work. Yeah. So anyway, we're flying along there, and all of a sudden I said, you know that wart? You had that wart very long? Oh, yeah, I had it several years. I said, how would you like to get rid of that thing? And he said, well, I'd love to get rid of it. I said, are you a Christian? He said, well, yeah. I said, do you go to church? He said, well, you know, some, not too much, but a little. I go once in a while when I can. I said, well, give me your full name. I mean, I'm going to do it just like she did it. I mean, it worked for me, and it's going to work for her. I mean, if you find something that works, you stick with the profile. Is that right?
That's right.
Stick with the profile. You know, I mean, my goodness, if you find something that works, and it works good, don't change it. You know, unless the Lord tells you to change it. And if the Lord tells you to change it, it'll work. So anyway, I told that boy, that pilot, I said, okay. I'm going to quote you write your full name down. I'm going to put it on a piece of paper and put it in my pocket. And then I'm going to pray. And I said, God is going to take off the wart. I guarantee it. So anyway, I prayed. And lo and behold, the next time I saw him, it must have been a month or two later, he and I had got the same trip again. We were on the same airplane. When I saw him, first thing I thought about, that wart. But I didn't get a chance to say anything. As soon as he saw me, he said, Thurman, you know that wart you prayed over? I said, yeah. He said, that thing come off. I said, well, praise God. Now then, if he says, let not the warts on the hands of Thurman Lee Scrivener corrupt or corrode him, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And if I do that three times, say, thank you, Lord, and they work, that ought to work, right? But whenever, a few years later, whenever I was asked to come to Philip Anthony Wren's house, he had 187 warts on his left arm. Just one arm. He had them on both arms. He had them on his face. He had them on his mouth. He had them on his eyelids and his eyebrows. That boy had hundreds of warts on his body. So anyway, I didn't know how much faith he had, but by that time I had pretty good faith. I mean, I saw this one guy's warts go away. Now, I prayed for several others, and I'm finding out if this will work for warts, it's got to work for something else.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm not limited to just praying for warts, you know. I ought to be not limited at all. I'm a son of God, and so I want to see miracles and see God do things, so I just thought to myself, okay. Now then, that Philip's mother and dad asked me to come up there to their house, and we prayed. I thought, the first thing I want to do after I saw all these warts, I said, Lord, I need to build this boy's faith. I need to make sure he's got faith, his mother and his sister. Of course, his sister was kind of little. I said, but Philip, he was 11 years old, and his mother and dad, of course, were mid-age. I said, I need this warts to all come off, so I'm going to build their faith. So I start with this scripture, Matthew 18:19. That's Kim and Scott's favorite scripture. Cheryl, honey, read Matthew 18:19. Now listen to this. I have been studying the Word of God day and night. I mean, I'm seeing miracles happen all over, and I'm realizing the more I study, the more I know, the more I see. So if you want to see God answer your prayer, you got to have to get in the Word. And He'll do it. So Cheryl's going to read Matthew 18:19 at one verse and see what it says.
Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven.
Now just think about that. He made that to His sons.
Yeah.
Are you a son?
Yes.
Or a daughter? Yeah. Yes. You ought to be able to take that scripture and do unlimited number of things.
Hallelujah.
And sure enough, you can. So anyway, I took those verses and I prayed over those things. And after I, of course, we worked on those scriptures and we worked on more scriptures and we went over promises for a couple of hours. I stayed there. Faith, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Hearing
the word
of God. So, do you know if you tell somebody over and over enough times that if two of us agree about anything, it will happen sooner or later, they're going to get to where they believe that.
Amen.
Now, they're going to get to where they say, one of these days it's going to click and they'll say, you know, if that works for Thurman and he's a son, and I'm a son or a daughter, if it works for him, it ought to work for me.
Amen.
Ain't that true?
Amen.
And so then when you try it, the first time it happens, this is what you say. It did. I can't believe it. It worked for me, too. Now, if you cut it off right there, God will be merciful to you. Like that lady over in Dallas, I told her how to do that to get her own breast healed of breast cancer. She repented of her sin, and I told her what to do, and she did. And whenever the next day when she woke up, the lumps were gone. The first word out of her mouth was, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. And after she said it three times, the lumps come back bigger. So she was all disheartened. Told me how bad she messed up. And I said, well, you know, God, he's tolerant. You know, I mean, he tried to give you an opportunity to believe and you wouldn't. So I said, now then you know what to do? She says, no. I said, you repent. Tell him, I'm sorry, Lord. I messed up. I ask you to forgive me and I repent. So just like we did with Philip. And so then we took all these promises, started standing on these promises, and as we stood on these promises and commanded these warts to go away in Philip's body in Jesus' name, and I told her, I said, now when we pray and thank the Lord for this, I guarantee, my faith was getting mountain high now. I said, I'm going to guarantee you that these warts and scars will all go away on Philip's body. Well, she said, when are they going to go away? I said, well, ma'am, that's the only thing God doesn't tell me is when. I don't know when it's going to happen, but if God said it's going to happen, if you stand on his word, guess what's going to happen? It's going to happen. That's exactly right. And so we prayed for little Philip and thanked the Lord for removing all of his warts. And I told her, I said, now when they go away, I said, don't say, I can't believe it. You know, say, thank you, Lord. Yeah. Well, within a couple of weeks, every wart on Philip Anthony Wren's body totally disappeared. Yeah. Hundreds of them. Yeah. Now then, let me show you. We're going back now to Luke 11 and starting verse 1 of Luke 11. Cheryl's going to read those verses, and I want you to pay close attention to what he says. Okay, honey?
And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us.
Okay, let's stop there a second and think about what all he said. You see where he's talking about remit sin, pray the prayer of faith, forgive, walk in love, all the things he's telling you to do. He's telling you, these are the things you need to do before you pray. You need to come to the Father and say, My Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day as we forgive those who give trespass against us. Forgive them, Lord. You see all these principles?
Yes.
So if all these things is what he said to do, then when you pray, what should you do? All these things. He's teaching them how to pray. Okay, honey, go ahead and read on there.
And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us.
Now, I know that none of us ever have a need for that.
That's funny.
Lord, thank you for being merciful to me. I need it every day. Now we know why the Lord says 490 times a day, because one time a day ain't enough. So anyway, thank God that I can ask up to 490 times a day, and he forgive me all. Okay, honey, read on.
And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Oh, you've written.
And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth.
How many?
Everyone.
Not part of us, every one of us. Keep reading, honey.
For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened.
Amen. Now stop and think. Are those awesome promises?
Yes.
Just like for Cheryl's daughter. As many times as we have prayed, we're going to pray again. In fact, we're going to pray, I'm standing on Luke 11. Lord, we remit her sins. We remit her husband's sins. We remit Cheryl's sins. We remit my sins. We remit everybody's sin that has anything to do with Christian Eric and their sickness. Everybody, Lord. Now, we thank you and praise you that we're going to ask you to completely restore Christy. We're going to ask you over and over and over, Lord, thanking you and praising you that you're going to restore that girl and make her well. We're not going to give up. We ain't taking no for an answer, because you didn't take no for an answer. You said, keep on asking.
Yes.
Is that what he said?
Yes.
Keep on asking. Lord, you said, ask and you shall receive. You said, everybody that asks receives. Not part of us, all of us, if we stay in faith and believe. So we're believing for Christy to have a complete, perfect everything, and her body work perfect. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that you healed little Philip back there years ago. And he's still now, then he's a 35 or 40-year-old young man now. Not a wart on his body, nowhere. He's a handsome young man, and he's got a beautiful little wife, and they got 4 children, and he's very happy. And I thank you and praise you, Lord. Now then, Lord, because of these scriptures that we're just talking about, now then, Lord, I'm going to come to you again on behalf of myself.
Yes.
Lord, this shaking in my hands.
Yes.
I don't know when you're going to take that away. I just know you're going to do it.
Yes.
I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen sooner or later, and later, sooner is better.
Yes.
So in Jesus' name, I remit my sins, whatever they are, all of them. Clean me up, make me perfect and clean and whole. And Lord, forgive me of everything I've ever done. Wash me clean and pure. I'm justified by the blood. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for cleaning me. Thank you for washing me. And thank you for giving me everything. Thank you for answering my prayers. And thank you, Lord, for taking away, Lord, make my eyes 20/10. I want perfect 20/10 eyesight. You said, ask what I will. Well, Lord, I ain't used to ask for 20/20. I want 20/10. I want it better than, if I'm going to ask, I might as well ask for the best. I'm not going to ask for just something. I want the best. So I need perfect eyes, perfect shaking, no shaking in my body. Everything in my body from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet has been renewed like the eagles. I want my body renewed like the eagles. And so it's perfect. And so I can do things, so I can fly those airplanes,
yes.
So I can talk to those people on the controllers.
Yes. Yes.
And Lord, I just praise you and thank you and worship you that we said that. Just like a while ago, I was talking to Camilla, and she was telling me about a new grandbaby. She said, me and Jerry, I think they said that their kids tried 4, 5, or 6 years or something to have that baby, and they finally got her. She said, you know why they got her? I said, but probably because Grandma here didn't give up. She said, that's exactly right. She said, I prayed. And I prayed and I prayed and I'm not giving up. So now then we got this beautiful grandchild because me and Jerry, we prayed.
Amen.
Now that, is that what you got to do?
Yes.
Stand on his word. Don't give up. Because when you give up, that's when you lose.
That's right.
We ain't going to give up. We're going to see Christy. I mean, just like the other night, it was a really scary night for Cheryl. When they told her after they'd done this certain test or whatever they did, she knows all about it. After they got through doing whatever they was doing, things didn't go just exactly right, and they're thinking they might lose her. And they asked Cheryl what they want to do. I mean, she said, what do you mean? She said, well, do you want to resuscitate her if she dies? And she said, absolutely. So she's not going to die. That's just like whenever I went down to get a sandwich one night when I had Caitlin down here in Cook's Medical Center. I said, I'm going to go out and get me a sandwich and get some gas in the car so I can go home tonight and get some sleep. I went down there and putting gas in my car and the phone rang. And my son-in-law's mother, she said, tell Thurman to get back up here right now. It looks like we're losing Caitlin. I said, don't tell her not to worry about a thing. I've got to fill my car up and I've got to eat a sandwich and I ain't no hurry because I know my promises, my answers from God never fail.
That's right.
So I said, don't worry about it. She's going to be okay. She said, Thurman, please. I said, don't worry. I have faith and I have faith in my God and I'm not doubting. If you tell me she's fall over backwards, I'm still going to say she's going to get back up in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, 20 years later, she's out here. The other day, she come over here to get her birthday gift on the 12th of January. When she's 21 years old now, so praise the Lord. God is a good God, is he not? But he will test you to find out what you're made out of. Are you going to stand on his word? What are you going to do? So when we pray for somebody, Lord, just an overall prayer here for anybody and everybody in this room that needs some kind of a prayer answered, Lord, we call on every one of these prayers to be answered. I mean, what's the...
Nancy
Nesbitt.
She's
got cancer, they say, so we're all over her body, so we demand and command that cancer to leave Nancy and go to the abyss and never come back.
Amen.
Now, Lord, for
Rick Martin. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we command that sickness in his body to go away.
Yes.
And Martin and Sue, and her name's Sue?
Paula Sue.
Lord, we come to you and we ask for all these people to be healed.
Yes.
And as we go to prayer here in a minute for each individual team, I ask you all to pray for these people remembering these principles. When you pray with somebody, remember, take the principles that God put in when he said, this is how I taught my disciples how to pray. Use those principles, you know, pray, believe, you know, kick out those devils. Pray the prayer of faith for your people. Do not give up. I mean, be strong and bold in faith. Nothing wavering, no wavering. And you shall see the glory of God. Remembering, he said in his word, that how many of us that ask and receive?
All.
That looked to me like that covers 100%, doesn't it, you?
Yes.
Wow, so I ain't giving up, are you?
No.
One of these days in the not too distant future, you're going to come in this church and my hands are not going to be shaking. They're going to be rock solid. In Jesus' name, I am healed because I've asked him to heal me and he can't lie to me, can he? He don't want to lie to me. He wants my faith to be great, and that's what he's doing. He's building my faith.
Amen.
I think about that man Smith Wigglesworth.
Yes.
That while he was going through his trials and tests for 5 years, he went through some kind of serious trials and tests as he passed kidney stones, hundreds of those things. But he finally stayed with it, and he finally got his answer, and even after praying hundreds of healing stones out of his body, he never had another healing stone, kidney stone. Everything worked great in his body, and he was healed. And his son-in-law said after that increased Smith's faith to a level that any time he prayed for somebody for anything, it didn't matter what it was, God answered his prayer.
Amen.
So just think, that's the man that saw 28 people raised from the dead. His own wife, when she died, you know, he went up there and he wasn't the least bit excited when they come and told him his wife Polly had died that day. He went back to her buggy and a horse and went over to London. And he went upstairs. They said she's on the upstairs bedroom. He goes up there and there's Polly laying there, been dead all day long. He walks up in there and he puts his hands on her and says, "Death, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, and life, I command you to come back in." And that woman sat up on the bed and said, "Smith, I was with the Lord. What do you mean calling me home?" Her husband, his wife reprimanded him for raising her from the dead. He said, "Well, Polly, I can't live without you." She said, "Yes, you can. It's my time to go home. You've got to release me." So finally he said, "Are you sure?" And she said, "Yes, I'm sure." He said, "Okay, if you know it's for sure that it's okay for you to go back, I release you to go back home to Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for giving me my wife." And she laid back down on that bed, stone cold hard, dead. Polly's Wigglesworth. Isn't that something? The dominion and the power and authority we have if we only believe. And God's trying to get all of us to that level. He wants us to be men and women of great faith, just like Jerry and Camilla praying for that grandbaby. They didn't give up. They prayed, and God gave them that grandbaby. Isn't that something? Wow. So according to those principles about how to pray, remit people's sin. Talk to them about sin. Talk to them about getting set free from all that sin. Walk holy in the presence of God. Forgive everybody. I mean, everything for everybody for everything. Don't have no unforgiveness, bitterness, or nothing. And then pray in faith, nothing wavering. Amen. And when you pray, believe. And then when you pray, thank the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank the Lord. Thank Him, thank Him, thank Him. Every time you ask Him for something, thank Him for the answer in Jesus' name. And then, Lord, thank you that I am healed. I've got solid hands. I've got solid eyes. My eyes are 20/10. I can see perfect. I can walk perfect. Everything is good in Jesus' name. All right? Okay. What time is it?
5 till 5? 4.
Oh, 4. Okay. Okay, I want y'all, to my prayer warriors, to stand up. We're going to start praying for people that need to be prayed for. And those of you that stand up that's going to pray for people, you're going to pray in faith, right?
Amen.
You want to pray in faith, and how much wavering?
None.
Make sure that people get rid of their sin, confess their sin. So if you need to be prayed for, one of these people that's standing up is who you need to go to, and you need to get them to pray with you and stand on His holy word, and you'll see the glory of God. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for all these prayer warriors. I thank you for all these people that come that need to be prayed for that you're going to heal. I thank you for healing Rick, and I thank you for healing Paula Sue.
Nancy.
I thank you for healing Nancy.
And Christy.
Yeah, and Christy and Eric and all this. Lord, just do a great and mighty work. And then, Lord, as Cheryl goes back to Colorado here in a couple of hours, ask you to give her a good trip all the way up there and put her in the right place with the right rooms with the right people so she can pray over those that are sick and afflicted that don't have. So many people up there in that hospital have no idea how to pray. In fact, I want to tell y'all that the reason I said that a while ago, what I did, that anytime Cheryl's daughter, anytime she needed a prayer answered, guess who she called?
Mother.
She didn't pray herself. She knew where she could get to her prayers answered, and she knew Mom got her prayers answered. So there's no telling how many people out there that got healed because Cheryl stood on the ground and prayed, because as she prayed, they saw things happen. Now, you want to be that person that you want to, here's the person you want to be. When somebody has a need, they call, "Let me go find so-and-so. I know." And then after you get a bill, like Smith Wigglesworth was, when you bring them over here, Lord, don't you guys know that Jesus is over there in London with you? Not only is over here with me, He's over there. You mean I can pray for people over there and God will heal them just like he does over here? He says, yeah, you don't have to drive that wagon load of people all the way over here every day or Sunday to pray for me. Just pray for them over there yourself.
That's right.
Ain't that something? So is that same God living in every one of us?
Yes,
he is. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all these people. Thank you for healing every one of them. Thank you for bringing them to the right place. Thank you for helping them to get their sick neighbors and children and everything else and bring them out here. Yes. Let us pray the prayer of faith for them, or just, Lord, teach them to pray.
Yes.
Teach them to remit the people's sins. That's the main thing. Get rid of those sins.
Yes.
Walk in obedience to your word and then have them pray and pray in faith. Yes. And thank you, Lord, for healing every one of them. We're not going to give up. In Jesus' name,
Jesus.
Amen.